Chapter 65. The 7-month screenshot was laid over a grayed-out satellite image of 5 contiguous central states: Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri. More than 340,000 square miles, more than 26 million people. McQueen's movements among those miles and those people were recorded as thin amber lines. His recent jaunt up from Kansas to Nebraska to Iowa and back again to Kansas showed up as a faint jagged rectangle. There were some other long spidery lines, but not many. He had made very few other long-haul trips. Most of his movements had been concentrated close to Kansas City itself. At that position on the map, the amber lines overlaid one another like a manic scribble, almost a solid mass. The lines were bright where they repeated one over the other. Some spots looked like holes burned in the screen. Reacher asked, "Can you zoom in?" Delfuenzo did the spreading thing with her fingers like Sorensen had. She expanded the manic scribble. She centered it on the screen. She zoomed it some more. She centered it again. The solid mass became a knotted tangle of movements. The bright lines dimmed as they separated. But two spots still burned stubbornly hot. Two locations, each one visited maybe hundreds of times. The inch of space between them was a river of light, a journey back and forth, made maybe hundreds of times. One spot was southwest of the other, like a 7 on a clock face and a 2.
"Point A and point B," Reacher said. "Can't be anything else."
Sorensen got the map back on her screen. She put her phone next to Delfuenzo's. She zoomed and wiped until she matched the state line, where the die-straight border between Kansas and Missouri suddenly looped off course to follow the banks of the Missouri River. She said,
"Okay, point A is right here, on this street, basically. In this house, obviously."
Then she scrolled north and east, both phones at once, both index fingers moving in lockstep, precise and delicate.
She said, "And point B is very close to the northernmost Lacey's store."
60 miles, through mazy suburbs and along dark country roads. 2 hours and 50 minutes into it. Plus another hour now. Maybe more.
"Let's go," Reacher said.
Bale's car had GPS, which helped. Sorensen read the address for the northernmost Lacey's off her phone, and Delfuenzo entered it in the machine. Then she lit up the strobes and took off, loud and fast. No more need for stealth. Not around point A, anyway. Point B would be a different matter. She said she would deal with that when they got there. The same satellites that had tracked McQueen got the car out of town after almost no time at all in the mazy suburbs. Score one for technology, Reacher thought. The cold hard logic in the circuits sent them what he was sure was the wrong way, down a bland street he was certain was a dead end. But then a concealed right and a shallow left brought them to one of the beltway on-ramps, and 6 fast miles after that they turned east on I-70, along the southern edge of Independence, Missouri. President Harry S. Truman's hometown, Reacher's favorite president. The highway was straight and empty, and 100 miles an hour was easy. Reacher began to feel a little more optimistic. They were going to make it to point B within about 50 minutes total, which was good. Because even if the Quantico guys were already in the air by then, which they had to be, they still had a long way to come. They left the highway at a small road in the middle of nowhere, but by that point Reacher was trusting the system. He was watching the arrow and the gray lines. He saw how Route 65 dogleged north of where they were. It jogged east towards a town called Marshall. Some historical reason, presumably. The GPS was cutting the corner. It was going to join Route 65 right after a famous Civil War battlefield site. Reacher knew his American history. That particular field had seen a 9-hour artillery duel, the Kings of Battle, with observers and crude incendiary rounds. The Confederate gunners had heated their cannonballs and fires, hoping to set things ablaze. The Union gunners had worn red stripes on their pants. Out his window, the moonlight showed fields on both sides of the road, all churned up by animals, all fenced in with wire. There were gates and water troughs and giant piles of feed covered over with tarpaulins and weighted down with old car tires.
"Farm country again," Sorensen said. "Is that what it's going to be? A farm?"
The farming makes sense, Reacher said. Somewhere isolated, with barns and so on, for vehicles and for storage and for dormitories, maybe. For many dormitories, possibly. I don't know how many people there are in two medium-sized groups.
Not too many, Delfuenzo said. Not necessarily. Half a dozen is called medium. Up to maybe 15 or 20, so it'll be somewhere between 12 and 40. That's enough, Sorensen said. Don't you think?
Reacher said nothing. They had 88 rounds of ammunition. The last figures he had seen in the army showed that an average infantryman records one enemy fatality for every 15,000 combat rounds expended, in which case, for 40 opponents, they would need 600,000 rounds, not 88. Alternatively, they would need to be a lot smarter than an average infantryman. Route 65 wore its status lightly. It was 300 miles long and it split the state, but in person it looked like any other country road. Maybe a little wider, maybe a little better surfaced, but otherwise it had nothing to recommend it. Almost immediately it crossed the mighty Missouri on an iron trestle, but that was its only point of interest. After the bridge it ran north through the darkness, anonymously, never really deviating, never really staying straight. Then Sorensen said,
"Okay, we're about 10 miles south. I don't know which way the kid at the McDonald's was orienting himself. I don't know if we're going to see the Texaco station and the Lacey store first, or whether we're going to hit the McDonald's first."
Delfuenzo killed the strobes. 5 miles after that, she started to slow. 2 miles later, she killed the rest of her lights. The world shrank around them, instantly dark blue and misty. There was no Texaco sign ahead, no blaze of light from a supermarket window, no red neon, no golden arches.
"Keep going," Sorensen said.
Delfuenzo crept onward at maybe 20 miles an hour. Not as hard as it looked. The yellow line in the center of the road showed up gray and kept him on course. There was some forward visibility. Not much, but enough for 20 miles an hour. People could run faster. Still no Texaco, no Lacey's, no McDonald's. Or no McDonald's, no Lacey's, no Texaco, depending on what the order was going to be. Reacher looked left and right, as far as he could, into the fields. They were dark and flat and empty. Nothing to see. Not that he had expected a neon sign saying, "Last terrorist hideout before the interstate." But 12 or 40 people usually put on some kind of a show. Maybe the glow of an outhouse lamp around a warped door, or a lookout cigarette, or a locked car's alarm flashing gently on the dash, or the blue haze of an insomniac's television behind a badly drawn drape. But there was nothing. Delfuenzo said,
"We must have gone wrong somewhere."
Sorensen said,
"No, this is the right road. The Lacey's should be dead ahead. Are those website maps always accurate? Government GPS is always accurate. Point B is dead ahead, too."
Reacher said, "So make a note in case you have to talk to Quantico. Tell him Whiteman Air Force Base would be the best place to land."
"Talk to Quantico? You mean if we fail to get the job done and I'm the only survivor?"
"Obviously, there's a number of possible outcomes."
"And that's one of them?"
"That's two of them. We might fail to get the job done with no survivors.